Attention Northwest Arkansas businesses and talent seekers. Introducing Onboard NWA.com, your hyperlocal job board crafted for our unique community. Struggling to find the perfect match for your job openings? Onboard NWA simplifies the hiring process, connecting you with the region's top talent through tailored talent matching solutions. Whether you're an employer seeking expertise or a professional looking for your next opportunity, Onboard NWA is here for you. Discover more at onboardnwa.com and let's build the future of Northwest Arkansas together.
Hello, Northwest Arkansas. Randy here, bringing you a quick word from our sponsor, Signature Bank of Arkansas. Since 2005, Signature Bank has been all about empowering our community with local ownership and top-notch banking services. Signature Bank's roots run deep with assets over $1 billion, and they're right here in your backyard with branches in Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, Fayetteville, and now including Harrison and Jonesboro. With a growing family of more than 200 teammates, they're ready to serve you with the warmth only a true community bank can offer. And they've got Banco C, the first bilingual bank in Arkansas, to ensure that banking is for everyone. So give Signature Bank a call at 479-684-3700 or visit signature.bank online. Mention you heard about them on the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast for that personal touch. Signature Bank of Arkansas, big on assets, local at heart, and a proud member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn. I'm excited to be with you today, as always. And today is probably a little special for me for several reasons. One, most of you that are listening to this particular episode, or maybe the episode that preceded this and the episode that comes after it, you are hearing a through line theme of what it means to call Northwest Arkansas home. And what I mean by that is, as we celebrated 5 years of being in existence with the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. And every time I say that, I have to kind of pinch myself like, wow, 5 years is a long time. I am amazed at all of the people that this podcast has allowed me to come in contact with. But the guests that I have on today are very special because they reached out to me via email, cold email, if you will, and just said, hey, you don't know me, but you know, we've listened to the podcast. We'd love to connect with you, and we're going to be in town at some point in time and would love to grab coffee. And I have basically said yes to everyone that has sent me that email. And so I've had a lot of coffees. I've had a lot of lunches. Now I've had a lot of dinners. And if nothing else, this podcast has really been an eye opener for me about the importance of connection more than anything else. And so this is a long preamble to just say that these two folks that I have on today are very special to me. It's Nick and Meredith Kasten. They are transplants to Northwest Arkansas by way of San Diego, and they wanted to get back to the middle of the country to get a little closer to Meredith's family. And I got to say, these guys embody why I continue to do the podcast on a regular basis. And it's, so for me, it's kind of special to have them sitting here in front of me at the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. Shout out to KUAF. who has partnered with the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast, but I don't want to belabor this time that we have together today. So without further ado, I want to welcome Nick and Meredith Kasten to the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, this is absolutely.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. This is exciting to actually be on the podcast.
No, I'm sitting here and I'm just like, wow, this is really cool to have you guys here. It's kind of like a surreal moment that I can think about. I remember when you reached out to me, Meredith, via email. And then when we met up and had dinner, you remember where we went?
Leverett Lounge.
Yes, good absolutely. Place. Yeah. Very good food. We had a great meal. This was all kind of the pandemic had already started, right?
Yeah. I think it was April 2021, probably.
Yeah, April 2021.
Wow. That's been 3 years.
Yeah.
I know.
Crazy.
Now we feel like locals, which is nice.
I know, which is nice. But so anyway, you guys have heat. The thing that I really like about you guys is that you guys have gotten here and just jumped full bore into Northwest Arkansas. You guys drank the Kool-Aid. You liked the flavor and said, you know what, we're going to do this. But I would love for you just to give our audience, because part of the purpose of me doing this series that I'm doing on transplants to Northwest Arkansas is to give people that are on the fence or that are thinking about moving here, you know, that extra, that gentle nudge that they might need to make a move to Northwest Arkansas. And we're even touting this program that we're doing on transplants to NWA as the podcast that you should share with a family member or a friend who keeps saying, hey, I want to move here, but I'm not sure. They need to hear stories like yours. So as the setup there, I'd love for you both, Nick and Meredith, take your time, ladies first, but you guys just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up here in Northwest Arkansas.
All right. If you insist on ladies first, I think for me, it was a combination of a desire to get much closer to my parents. I'm originally from Northeast Texas, around in Tyler, and I really wanted to get closer to my parents for the entire time I lived in San Diego, which was almost 20 years. But I could never seem to find a place that felt like it embodied everything that I wanted. And it's a fairly long story how we picked Fayetteville, but it came down to I had a random encounter with someone with whom I was speaking about the topic. And he said, well, everything you're talking about sounds like where I grew up. So you should check out Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I went and told Nick that. And he, at the time, this was well before COVID happened, and he just wasn't ready to move. And I think things just changed over time once we realized that the pandemic had hit and we thought, my parents are not getting any younger. They could go at any minute. I know that's kind of morbid, but we can't just keep waiting and kicking the can down the road. Let's check this place out once we've gotten our vaccines and everything. Let's see if this is a place that we could really call home. And it really did check off all the boxes on my list personally. But I think for Nick, having never lived outside of Southern California, it was a little bit different for him. I knew I wanted a smaller city. I knew I wanted the seasons. I knew I wanted the rolling hills instead of the mountains. And I knew I didn't care about having the beach, all of those things. But for him, you probably want to chime in, but it was different. And then when we found your podcast, really, on for me, I sort of showed him some of the episodes and we listened to it. And it was like, oh, I think it was kind of a bell went off for him.
Right.
Like this area sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, like she said, I grew up in Southern California and I didn't really know anything about this area. And, you know, there's always what you hear in media or this and that, and you never really know what to think of a place until you're really there. So I was reluctant, but I also was open-minded. And I remember thinking or talking about it with Meredith and saying, you know, if we move there, we need to go all in. We need to embrace the local culture, especially because we know that there is a bit of animosity towards transplants sometimes when you move somewhere because, you know, with housing prices going up, we know that's a big issue here. And that's just a thing that comes with the area being economically sound and growing rapidly. And I think that we were really aware of the fact that we didn't want to be those people, you know, that everyone laments that arrived here. So we said, you know, let's come here and just like embrace what there is. Don't complain about every little thing that's different and try to just like double down on the things that are great about this area. And there's a lot of them. And that was kind of my attitude. That was her attitude. And I know that I knew that if we moved and kept that mindset, we would be happy here.
Yeah.
And it just takes that constant reminder, like when things are rough or whatever, you're like, no, we need to embrace the things that are great about this area. Like today we biked here on the trails. We love the trail system. I mean, that's just a huge part of it for us, was just the trail system alone is awesome. So we've loved it. And, you know, no place is perfect, right? But this is perfect for us. Mm-hmm. And we've embraced the good, and, you know, the bad isn't that bad. So, yeah. You know, and there's bad everywhere. There's bad in San Diego. There's good in San Diego.
The
you
bad
know.
Is just the times you can't use the trails, in my opinion. It's just when it's too cold or icy. And for me, the good was all about people, and I wanted community so mm-hmm. badly. And that was what we lacked in San Diego, is we would have friends and then they would move, and then we would have friends and then they would move. And I just wanted a place where we could build a community where people wanted to stay there, not just because they could afford to stay there, but because it actually was a wonderful place that people loved and felt proud of.
Yeah.
And that was what we could not seem to find whenever we would consider other areas. We couldn't seem to find that combination of just livability and kindness and welcoming nature. And then also just people wanting to stay, not just because, oh, in the case of San Diego, it's a beautiful city, but people want to stay here because it's Fayetteville, yeah. not just because it's by the beach or because of tacos or something. What this place has is Fayetteville. And I think that's what I always wanted, was just place, just a place that had, yeah, a vibe and a sense of pride and community that really, I just am so excited to be here because of that.
Yeah.
And I want to thank everyone we've met here, because yes. part of why we love it here is the people. Everyone's mm-hmm. been great. Randy, you've been awesome.
Yes.
I mean, everybody that we've met has just been a delight, and it's really been nice to get to know the community and become part of it. And that's just a great thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is all about community here. And I know it's a well-worn wording that I use, but people are different here. It's hard to describe it. You just have to kind of come here and see it for yourself. And I get it. I was actually just talking to a young couple this morning that has two young kids, and they want to move here. They visited. They like Northwest Arkansas. They want to get work here. You know, I told them, I said, you know, I could think of worse places that you could go. And I also think that if nothing else, what you will find different about Northwest Arkansas is that people are very open and giving and willing to connect with you and just meet you where you are. They're not as judgmental as you might find on the different coasts. And so things are different here. And I tell people all the time to, you know, lean into that, lean into asking for help about, you know, what do you think is special about this place for people that you connect with here? And they'll tell you. And that's the cool thing about Northwest Arkansas. And that's what I have found. I've got 9 years in, which I can't believe. I'm just like, wow, I've been here nine wow. years now. And it's like, it's just been a special place. And I said it over and over again. If you had told me 15 years ago, you're going to move to Northwest Arkansas, I've been like, you're crazy.
Same.
I'm not moving to Arkansas. There's no way. But here I am.
Yep.
I mean, it's that simple. So you guys came here. What was it like? I mean, how did you kind of rate, or not necessarily rate, but look at each city when you were making decisions about finally where to live? How did you go through that process?
For me, it was basically a non-starter if it wasn't within an 8-hour drive of my parents.
Okay.
And so we sort of went from there. And so we automatically ruled out a lot of places that fit what we wanted in other ways. I really wanted a small city.
Yeah.
One that had enough amenities where you wouldn't feel bored, or like people aren't, or maybe everybody knows your business all
right.
the time.
Right.
But at the same time, I didn't want the big hustle and bustle and the grind, that feeling of keeping up with the Joneses that you get in the bigger cities. Mm-hmm. And so we were just kind of looking at cities within an 8-hour drive of Tyler. And there just wasn't a lot that fit our criteria. And I think we never really expanded into the Arkansas area when we were looking, because frankly, I didn't know about this area. We never really traveled as a family except to go see my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And so we were always either in California or Pennsylvania, because that's where my parents were. And so when we would travel, it would be to the airport in Dallas to go right. visit my grandparents. And so I never really thought, I went to Louisiana a number of times. So we considered some places. I think we even briefly considered New Orleans because it was 8 hours from Tyler. We considered Austin because my sister's there, but both cities are far too big for my comfort level.
Yeah.
And I don't care for driving. That was a big factor. So I was like, well, if I have to drive, I'd rather it be in a smaller city where people are kinder on the road.
Yeah.
So then it really was when I can name drop this guy. He now moved back to Northwest Arkansas. His name is Justin Turnus, but I met him at a networking event for physical therapists where I worked in San Diego. And that's where we found out about Fayetteville. And I thought, well, I had thought about Little Rock. It entered my mind, but I didn't know much about it. And it just kind of was like, oh, tornadoes. I think we just kind of heard tornadoes and yeah. rolled it out. And it was he was very scared of tornadoes.
I'll admit, I was a little nervous about that.
Yeah. So we automatically knocked anything that appeared to be in Tornado Alley, which Little Rock. off the list. And I never considered the Ozarks and the Ouachitas and everything. I just didn't know it was a thing. And I mean, my family never even went to Hot Springs, even though it was only a few hours away. And we only went to Shreveport, Louisiana once to go to the airport. So you probably have your own perspective on that.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, I think there's a lot of things. One thing you didn't say that's kind of implied, though, is she said she doesn't like to drive, and having active transportation
yes.
at your disposal was a huge thing. And so when we saw how much priority Fayetteville and the region in general placed on the trail system, the urban trails, we're not big mountain bikers, so those aren't as important, but we do like the investment there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just having the variety of options you have to get around without a car were really appealing to both of us. But for me, you know, I grew up in California where there's mountains everywhere. And so I've always had this thing where if I'm in a place that's too flat, I get this weird feeling. It's something about I need to see a hill or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When we were looking at places, one of the things we were looking for was a place with hills. And also just thinking about, you know, just foliage and trees and just the beauty of that. Because even though I grew up in California, I never really cared for the beach. I'm one of those weirdos that didn't actually care that much. So I realized that I always had the best time when I went to the mountains. And so being in the Ozarks, I was like, this is great. This is really pretty, rolling hills. There's a lot of foliage. It's beautiful. I never lived anywhere with fall colors, you know, mm-hmm. So it's just really appealing in that way. And I just thought this is a good spot. And also it was important that it wasn't just this isolated spot in the middle of economic disparities. So for example, Asheville, North Carolina is on a lot of people's lists for kind of a similar vibe to Fayetteville. The problem we saw with Asheville in particular was that it's sort of this bubble and it's surrounded by a lot of socioeconomic disparity. And I think there's a ton of animosity there. And it just didn't feel like we wanted to be in that kind of that push-pull kind of thing where this area had more economic opportunity, we saw, across the board, and it crossed different spectrums of people. And so we thought, you know, it seems like it's not just Fayetteville in isolation. There's this whole metro area that's growing and supporting entrepreneurs and everybody else. And so it seemed like a healthy environment that we could stay active, meet nice people, enjoy the beauty of nature, and, you know, get around on our bikes a lot and have a good time. And so that was kind of it. And mm-hmm. we were lucky enough that we ran a business together. And so we were able to work remotely and that we didn't have to find a job before we moved here. So I know that is a big factor for some people.
Yeah.
I would recommend if you do move here, try to find a job before you arrive, just so that you don't, you know, spin your wheels too much. But thankfully for us, that wasn't a concern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even like I was telling this couple today, is that even if you get something in the interim, mm-hmm. you know, until you get
right.
what you, and I'm using air quotes now, your dream job or something like that, that's possible. Because there's always somebody hiring here in Northwest Arkansas.
Yes.
So you just need to look a little closer and kind of peel back the layers and you'll find what you're looking for.
Definitely.
But, you know, so you may have to stair step it from a career perspective, but it won't take long for you to get where you need to go. But like you said, when you came here, I remember you had your other job,
mm-hmm.
and then you switched over to working when you guys worked collectively
right.
together. And it was just nice to have that convenience.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Makes a big difference. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, just how it's been over the past few years as you've gotten acclimated to Northwest Arkansas. What were some of your biggest aha moments about this place that you would have never learned until you physically got here?
Okay. I'm just sticking with the ladies first trend, and Nick keeps gesturing for me to go. For me, I think it was that as soon as I moved here, I had friends.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievably easy.
Me included. So,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
That was a huge part of it. And I think having listened to your podcast too, there were people like Shelley Mober who we had connected with her somehow on Facebook. Then I heard her on your podcast right around that time. And then you, like, we met up with you and Nicola, and it just gelled so well. And so we just kept meeting people who knew people that we already knew or we had heard on the podcast or just random connections. And then another thing was that I would meet someone and then they would introduce me to one of their friends and then I would become friends with that friend. And then that friend would turn out to know this other person. And it was just this sense of community that I was seeking. And yeah. I remember he left to go tie off loose ends in San Diego. We had a friend who was subletting our place when we were moving here. So he went to go kind of pack up the rest of our furniture and sell off what we had or ship it and everything. And I was left here alone. And that was sort of my first feeling of, okay, do I really like it? Because this is real. We're done. We're cutting things off there. And I had this warm hug of people who just reached out who I barely knew. And they were inviting me to events and just including me in things and saying, oh, we'll take care of you while he's gone. He was only gone maybe 5 days. But just that feeling. And I contrasted it to when I lived in San Diego. I'm not trying to trash San Diego. Yeah, nothing wrong with it. I lived there almost 2 decades. But I remember when I first moved there, it was so hard to make friends. And I'm a pretty friendly person and I love people. And so for me to have such a hard time making friends was really sobering when I moved there. Yeah. We threw a small party for my then boyfriend and everyone said they were going to come and nobody showed up. And that was to me this realization of what the culture was like there. It's just, you know, oh man, bro, like so tasty waves kind of came up, so I couldn't make it to your party. I mean, it's just this very like
tasty waves.
Yeah.
not everyone's like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, not everyone's like that. Yeah, but it took me 3 years to find the people that weren't like that.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it took me like 3 weeks and it's just not stopped. And I feel like you've used this term a lot in your podcast, but we have this embarrassment of riches.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of everything.
My favorites.
Yeah, I love it. But I mean, that's how I feel with the people here. I just can't stop meeting wonderful people. And it's hit the point where I'm just like, you would have to drag me kicking and screaming and sobbing out of this place.
Right, I
just would not move. And it's because of the people. I mean, everything else about it is wonderful, but the people are what would keep me here under all circumstances. Like even if we lost everything else about this city, the people would keep me here.
So. Yeah, I got you. I love that.
Yeah. And in that same vein with people, you know, one thing I've noticed living in a place that's a bit smaller than what I was used to was, you know, you just run into public officials and people that are on committees and boards and work for the city. And it's just really nice to kind of actually interact with these people that in big cities are often just these names on a website somewhere. You know, you have no idea who they are. You don't know anything about them. And to actually interact with people and see them on the trails and wave at them. And you're like, oh, that's our, you know, representative. And so there's just something about small. I mean, I wouldn't even call this a small town. Like it is.
Yeah.
It is an established place and it's big for Arkansas. But
well, Fayetteville is the second largest city in the state.
Yeah. So. But, you know, on the national scale, it's still relatively small, I think. And so I think it still has that charm, which I really appreciate. And yeah, I've just appreciated all the nature and like the access to nature. We love going kayaking in the spring, you know, go to Beaver Lake in the summer, or, you know, there's some swimming holes we love in the summer when it gets real hot. You just, you know, jump in and hang out with some snakes and just make friends, you know,
it's all good.
It's all good. You just got to embrace it.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. So tell me, what have you thought about just like the culture of Northwest Arkansas? When you think about like Crystal Bridges, when you think of the art scene, the food scene. That had to have been surprising because, I mean, San Diego's got some good restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Gaslight District and a lot of spots. But, I mean, you know, you come here, you might think, oh, I'm going to have to give up a couple of things.
You know, it's funny. I forgot all about that because I've gotten so used to the fact that it's good here in that way. But, yeah, that's so true. If you'd asked me a couple of years ago, it would have been front of mind. But I think it's true that I was worried a little bit leaving a bigger city where you have access to all of these wonderful options. You know, it's almost too many options, I'll be honest. Like now that I've had a few, like you have a few less options, it's like, okay, it's a little easier to make decisions this way, but we have plenty of great choices. And, you know, when we first got here, we had to kind of figure out what were the places that we liked the most and all that. But there's so many choices. And we thought, oh, we're going to certainly run through all of the possible places to go out or to go eat or to go see art or whatever in the first year. And we're 3 years in and we do a lot of things and we still haven't even scratched the surface. There's so much. And we bring a lot of people to Crystal Bridges that come visit, of course. We're always on the different trails around town. Yeah, we love patronizing local businesses and it's been really nice. And business owners, you know, they're really part of the community as well. And there's a lot of community support. You know, if a local business needs people to come out and support them, a lot of times the community responds in a really nice way. So that's really nice to see. And I don't think we've lost anything by moving here. You know, I think sometimes people worry you leave the city, you're going to lose a bunch of things. And I feel like we've gained a lot in just our quality of life.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that the quality of life is bad where we were. It was great. And I'll never knock San Diego as a whole. I think it's a great place, but it's not for everyone and it's expensive. And, you know, there's a lot of things about it that make it not accessible to everybody or the right fit for everybody. And so I really just think that, you know, you don't lose things by coming here, but you may have to you know, there may be a certain cuisine that you don't have here, or maybe something like that. But, you know, it's coming.
Yeah.
This area is growing. It's only a matter of time. Yeah. And you know what? It also gives you a reason to go to Tulsa, Kansas City, mm-hmm. Little Rock, wherever you want to go, Memphis, Dallas. I mean, everything is not that far to go to. And so anything it is lacking, you can find there. And it's a fun place to visit all those different spots.
Yes. And I think one thing that we have here that I always dreamed about and wanted to have in other places where I've lived, because I've lived a lot of different places over the years, is the ability to get on your bike and go from restaurant to restaurant. And I'm a big eater. I'm not a big drinker. So I love that you can go from restaurant to restaurant on our trail system.
Yeah.
And when you start to get hungry, you don't have to go have a big meal, like, you know, major meal at every single place, but you can go snack to snack to snack. And that is something that is so unique to this area that I would be absolutely heartbroken if we had to leave and didn't have that ability to ride our bikes or roller skate or whatever from place to place.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right about that. And I mean, with so many places being raised and built up around the trail system. Yes. I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really
we're actually cool. going to Nomad's Trailside right after this.
Yay.
So, you know, it's just a great little option. And we were just talking to someone who lived in this area for a long time and is now living somewhere else for the time being. And they had said to Meredith that they miss the trail system here, even though they have a great time where they are now.
Right.
They're like, man, I miss the trail system. Yeah. It's so good.
She moved to help family. Yeah. And she said, you know, I love where it is. It's nice and warm. She's in Florida now. And I think she really likes warm weather, but she was like, nothing beats that trail system and I miss it sorely. That was her exact phrase.
Yeah. No, I received that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So you guys have, in short order, at least by my observation, have really kind of made a place for yourself here. You haven't been shy about putting yourself out there and seeing things. I'll see you at different events. And you guys have gone so far as to start your own podcast here.
We were inspired, Randy.
And I appreciate that. And that, listen, that warms my heart whenever I see somebody pick up a mic and press record, because I think we all have stories to tell. Even those of you that are listening to this right now, you have a story to tell. You need to get a microphone or pick up your iPhone and just pull the little audio app up and start recording your thoughts. And before you know it, you'll have a podcast episode. But you guys did that. What was your inspiration behind your podcast? And talk about what it has taught you in the short period of time this podcast has been in existence.
I think for me, I never really thought about doing a podcast. I think the podcast was Nick's idea, but it stemmed from these conversations we kept having with people who I felt like I found my people, the people who don't like to drive. And I just
that's your tribe.
That's my tribe, I guess. Yeah.
Tribe, no drive.
I kept meeting them on the trail. And I know that Brian Squire has been interviewed on your podcast. We met him and his wife, Dina, at the ONF Free Cake event when they opened their bike parking. And we just kept meeting these like-minded people who are trying to get everywhere possible on bike or by foot. And so
he's taken it to another level.
Bro. Oh, yeah. I know.
I'll link to that episode.
Yes.
Right here. But Brian has, he and his wife have been all over the U.S. But
oh,
yes.
They're incredible. Yeah. And they've become some of our really good friends. And so I think we kept meeting people who felt the same way. And we kept having these really interesting conversations. And some of those conversations would be, oh, did you hear about City Park opening? Or, oh, did you hear that this is happening on the city council, this trail related thing? Or, oh, the Active Transportation
Advisory Committee.
Yeah, the Active ATAC. Transportation and Advisory Committee, the ATAC. They discussed this and this new trail is opening. So we kept having these conversations, which sometimes I like to call them kind of dorky conversations, but I think for the people who are into it, it's like they're real into it and that's how we are.
Yeah.
But I realize for people who aren't into that, it's probably on the dorky side. But we would have all these real trail adjacent conversations with people. And then we would say, oh man, I wish that other people could hear this conversation because so-and-so had this great idea. Perfect example would be Herschel Hartford is someone who uses a wheelchair to get around. Mm-hmm. And he was telling us all these ideas he had for the trail system. And we're like, oh man, I wish that we had a way for other people to hear this. And so Nick was like, well, what if we just did a podcast and we start interviewing people who are trail dorks like we are,
right,
or trail enthusiasts?
Yeah.
And so I had some misgivings about it because I was like, but Randy has the podcast. And I know you're not like that. You feel like everybody has a seat on the bus, but I didn't want to step on any toes or
No,
and listen. So we reached out to you and we're like, oh, how do you feel about all of this? And you were just so encouraging about it. And I've always really been hesitant about doing anything related to a podcast, even with my own business, when people, because I have this online business.
Yeah, because I even told you, you should start a podcast.
I know. And I'm like, oh, but I'm more of a writer.
Every business should have a podcast. This is my disclaimer to anybody listening. Yeah. If you run a business and you don't have a podcast, you're missing out.
Yes.
But I will leave it at that. But you continue.
Yeah. But I mean, I think I really took it to heart where you said it should be something you're passionate about. And I was like, I'm hitting the point with my business where it's not what I want to talk about, like 10 hours a week or however often we're going to be spending on this. But the thing that I just could talk about 24 hours a day if I had that amount of time was trails.
Yeah.
We always joke like trails, transit, and city planning. We're just so into that stuff.
Yeah. And I love creative projects in general. And I've done a lot of audio editing and video editing in the past. And we make music for fun sometimes. And so just that it interested at least me in terms of the production aspect of it. I just really like creating something new and putting it out there. And, you know, if people don't like it, they don't have to listen to it. So it's like, you know, I was a little self-conscious at first about the idea of and being like, oh, are people going to think we're weird or like us? And we're like, you know what? If they like us, we'll become friends with them. And if they don't, we're probably not going to hear from them. So, or if we do, it's some, you know, we'll just ignore it.
Yeah.
So, but the podcast is called Fay It Forward. And it's basically, yeah, trails, transit, city planning, affordable housing, all of the things that come with growth, but looking at it from the perspective of active transportation and just equity and just trying to figure out how can we grow in a sustainable way that isn't just, you know, big wide roads everywhere and thinking about it from all different perspectives, because it does benefit, you know, affordable housing has to do with housing density and trail adjacent uses. You can have housing near train stations if we ever end up getting a passenger rail of any kind through the Northwest Arkansas corridor. You know, you could build housing around that. It opens up new options for people to live. So there's just a lot of intertwined conversations that come out of this. And since we started it, I think we have 15 episodes so far as of this day.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we interviewed people with the city. We interview regular citizens. We interviewed a developer, Ward Davis, on the last episode. And it's just fun to talk to people, get different perspectives, because not everyone agrees. That's one thing we're learning. Like, everybody has their own idea of how this should go down.
Yeah.
And our job, we feel, is to kind of be the people in the middle who kind of are just like letting people talk and hearing them out and trying to find commonalities between different approaches and trying to see how can this all fit together and integrate so that not everyone's going to get exactly what they want, but together, maybe we'll get something awesome. And that's kind of what we hope comes out of this, is just more conversations are fostered. So we've had people say, oh, we heard so-and-so on this podcast and I work with that person and I haven't really talked to them before. And I thought, wow, they're really smart. They have a lot of stuff to say, you know? Yeah. So I think there's just a lot of opportunity for people just to hear each other, especially in this modern world we live in, where people just post on social media with no accountability and everybody just gets angry. And I think hearing people talk and hearing people out and letting people kind of understand each other's perspectives is what we need. And if we can be a tiny, tiny, tiny part of that in our little bubble, great. That's all we can hope for.
Well, I say kudos to both of you guys for doing that and for that undertaking. And like you said, when I first heard, I was like, oh man, that's definitely needed. And it is a great conversation. To me, the benefit of podcasting is that we have so many ideas in our head that you know, it's helpful to put them out, put them out there for the world to hear. And you'll get feedback. I mean, I know everybody and their mother doesn't listen to this podcast, but it is a well-listened to podcast. And I run into a lot of people from all walks of life that have said this podcast has been really helpful to them. So I believe, and I know that it's already done that your podcast, Fay It Forward, is going to have that same intended effect. And it's just a matter of time. And just, you know, my one piece of encouragement is just keep pressing record. You never know who's listening.
Right.
And especially in the space that you're in with this, when we talk about placemaking and what that looks like, we need to hear from everyone as we continue to placemake Northwest Arkansas.
Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And on the topic of affordable housing, one thing that I was made aware of that I didn't even realize, I just happened to not enjoy driving, but I didn't realize until I really started to dig into some of the strong towns concepts and really understand the importance of building density where it makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that so much of what people pay in terms of housing cost is actually their transportation cost, because it's expensive to own a car. It's expensive to pay for gas. It's expensive in time and money to commute. And so any way that we can take that burden off of people whether it's because they don't enjoy driving or it's a financial burden,
yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense. And a lot of the concepts behind kind of urbanism in general or new urbanism are not about just building everything into skyscrapers, mm-hmm. but instead really making urbanism, or I guess I should say density, where it makes sense, where there's already infrastructure there, where you can put a transit station, like you were saying. And then that enables us to, instead of just have endless sprawl, dedicate areas for open space preservation.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure that people kind of recognize when you say density, that it's not just turning something into New York City.
Right.
And
I don't think anybody wants to see that happen. And,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
especially with our topography and the overall landscape, that would be kind of hard to do. And I think if nothing else, people would really get to appreciate the rolling hills
mm-hmm.
of the Ozarks. And like you said, I mean, you mentioned Tornado Alley down in Little Rock, but one of the things that is a natural buffer for us are the mountain ranges that we do have
yes.
here. They're not huge mountains, but they're big enough to basically, you know, circumvent a tornado from really causing damage, especially because I don't know if a major tornado has ever hit Fayetteville. They have kind of passed through on the periphery, but never like dead spot on center of town, you know? So yeah, it was so. But I believe that the topography lends itself to us having that little bit of safety, because if you just head about 20 miles due west of us on the way towards the Oklahoma border, it gets really flat
mm-hmm.
and you can see for miles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where you start to see those challenges. So, and I think that's important for people to know that they're yeah. thinking about moving here to know what's up. I mean, I remember when I first was thinking about moving to the Bay Area and I was like, well, how real are the earthquakes?
Yeah.
And then I told somebody, because somebody asked me, well, I experienced 17 earthquakes in the time that I was in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
Now they were, you know, minor tremors,
yeah, I mean,
not Loma Prieta or anything like that. But yeah, but it was like, and I remember the first time I was in a classroom and the kids were like, oh man, we got a tornado. We got an earthquake going on. And it was just a rumbling, and there's different types because there's mm-hmm. the type where the plates move up and down.
Yep.
There's a rolling earthquake. And so
those are kind of fun.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So,
says the guy from Southern
California. I grew up with it.
Right. Right. So, you know, but anyway, I say all that to say that I think it's important to understand that this area is really, it's a special area mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons. And you've already mentioned some of them. Talk a little bit about what you guys have found that you've been able to do here that you didn't think you could do here in terms of getting out and getting into the community. So
one thing that I've really found that I've enjoyed is skating. I grew up roller skating.
I saw you roller skating yesterday.
Yeah.
For podcast listeners, these guys live not terribly far from Gully Park. I live on the other side of Gully Park. And so we kind of traverse some of the same roads, but I run into these guys on the trail. So they walk the walk and talk the talk. And I just happened to see Meredith out doing her roller skating right on the trail. And it was just cool to see it. I just like, that's something that I like. It's like, I always run into a neighbor or somebody that
yeah.
lives in my neighborhood or on my side of town. And I talk to people all throughout Northwest Arkansas that say the same thing to me. It's, oh, I saw my neighbor
yes.
out at such and such, or, you know, wherever. I mean, you could go years without seeing your neighbor. When I lived in DC, you didn't mm-hmm. see, you know, it was just like that because there's just so many people.
Yeah.
New York City the same way, but here it's just different.
Definitely.
So, but you want to?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was the big thing that I kind of picked up since we got here. I knew I was going to get into biking, and we had biked a little bit when we were in San Diego, but I almost got doored, you know, when someone opened.
Yeah, yeah.
And
absolutely.
One of my friends had just gotten doored
oh, wow.
months earlier, and that really scared me because he was pretty banged up.
Yeah,
he broke
hurt.
Some ribs and everything.
Yeah.
And so we really kind of put our bikes away and never really touched them for the last 6 years or so that we lived there, which is ridiculous if you think about it, because San Diego has kind of perfect weather for biking.
Does. It does.
But it's so crowded and it really doesn't feel safe for urban cycling. And then on the beaches, it's very crowded. So I used to do a little bit of rollerblading in my 20s on the beaches there when I first moved there. And then I grew up roller skating at a little rink in Tyler, which was torn down years ago. And I never would have thought I would get back into it, but I saw someone, her name is Clem, and she always skates around town. And I started following her on Instagram. And I think for my 44th birthday, I got a pair of roller skates, and the rest is history.
There you go.
But that has been a huge impact on just my happiness and being able to enjoy the trails, even when it feels like it's a little cold for even walking or biking. I generate enough heat when I roller skate that I've been able to skate the entire winter, except maybe 2 weeks when it was truly just too icy or rainy.
Yeah, right.
And it's just so fun. And initially, I will confess, that was one of the few times that I was like, oh, should we have left San Diego? They have those beautiful beaches that you can skate on year round. But man, have I gotten to be a better skater on these hills.
Good.
And it is just, it's so fun. And I've gotten Nick into it. And now we do inline skating. We go to the rinks. We have three rinks in Northwest Arkansas.
Very nice rinks too.
Very nice. Yeah. And the community is just phenomenal. I mean, everybody I've met through skating has been so nice. And it's just, that's yet another place to find friends and build community and everything. But even though I went to a rink once in San Diego for a birthday party, there were little kids running in socks. You know, they didn't really enforce that you have to skate. And so it just wasn't what you find here. It's magical. And I have a friend who's really into roller skating, and she has considered moving here specifically for the skating scene.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working on her.
Is she listening to your podcast?
I'm going to send it to her. Yeah. She just needs a job. So anybody who needs someone who's in experiential marketing, reach out to me. She's phenomenal.
There you go.
Really smart.
There you go. Well, we'll be sure to put both of you guys' contact information on the show notes so that people can kind of see this and maybe connect with you definitely on the Fayette Forward podcast and support them. So, you know, as we kind of close this, and now that you guys are here, you guys are like locals now. What are your hopes for the future of Northwest Arkansas in the near term, right? Just 3 to 5 years out, because I know for people listening, we are 576,000 population right now today, just give or take. 36 net new people a day are moving to Northwest Arkansas. We are expected to be at about 1 million people by 2045. I personally think it's going to happen by 2040. We'll see. This area is going to continue to change. But with that, through that lens, as you think about your short-term experience here and what you hope to see happen in the next 3 to 5 years, what are you excited about?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, just first of all, I would note that you can't fight the growth. The growth is going to happen, and people need to understand that it's, you know, trying to fight development is not going to work because we need more housing. I'm excited just about the overall economic prosperity coming to a lot of people that live here. I mean, I think there's so many job opportunities, so many unique industries are here. Startup culture is here. You know, I think there's just so much opportunity for being active and healthy here. And I think that that's going to continue. My hope is just that the area grows intentionally, and that means the leadership has to act intentionally to make sure that they prioritize density where it's appropriate. And this comes back to our interests, obviously, but, you know, not let things sprawl too much and try to encourage more housing in all of the areas where we have access to transit or corridors like 71B. Fayetteville's doing a wonderful job reimagining what that's going to be, adding density there. Because I think having housing become less affordable, which is kind of an inevitable consequence of what's happening, is really hard for a lot of people. And I really want to see everyone thrive here. And I want there to be housing available for people at all ends of the spectrum. And I think in order to do that, we need to build, but we need to do it intentionally. We need to do it smart, and we need to have community rally behind density when it's appropriate and not fight density just for the sake of saying, well, we shouldn't be growing, because then that actually ends up hurting you in the end, because you're fighting things that are actually going to help you whether you realize that or not.
Yeah.
And so I just hope that the community understands how we need to grow intentionally and try to support our leaders when they try to do good things.
Yeah, I like that.
I agree. And I would mainly just add that I think as much housing and I would say entertainment and food options that we can have along the trail corridor, the better, because that enables people to get to those places using active transportation. And so all of the concerns about traffic, which are extremely valid. I was just in Austin for the first time in many years, and it was traffic city.
Traffic is insane.
Insane. Yes. And so I think whatever we can do to mitigate that by encouraging people to embrace the fact that this area has a really good climate for most of the year. Mm-hmm. I think if we can get people using the trail system for transportation as much as possible by building housing along the trails, by building restaurants along the trails, entertainment along the trails, I really feel like we're going to be building in a smart direction. And it comes down to, my mother grew up in a little city in Pennsylvania that was ridiculously charming, and it died because I'm not really sure why. I don't know the history of the city too well, but I know that it, instead of growing, it died. And it was really, really sad. And I went back and visited that place for the first time in about 10 years ago, and it was so depressing. And so if you're not growing, you're dying. Nothing's going to stay the same forever. I wish it could. I wish we could take a snapshot and say, this is perfect. Let's keep it. But that's just not how it works.
No.
And people deserve housing. They deserve to be able to afford where they live, whether they're from there or they're moving in. And so I say, let's embrace it. Let's just make sure it's done in a sustainable way, trying to keep it as affordable as possible, trying to keep our tree coverage there, and listen to the city planners because they know what they're doing. They've studied this, and then hopefully support them as they do what they do and give them the support and the resources that they need to do the wonderful job that they're already doing and just keep doing more of it.
And keep being awesome to your neighbors and your friends and everybody in the community, because that is special about this area. And let's not lose that as we grow.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with every sentiment that you just shared. And I hope, if nothing else, that people listening to this that haven't moved here yet or haven't flipped the switch on that, that they hear your heart, because it's pure as far as your experience here. And I appreciate you sharing that and giving us kind of like an insider's glimpse, because you haven't been here that long. And you can really call Northwest Arkansas home now.
We like to think so. And we're really happy that, that people have embraced us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll we'll continue the embracing. That's for sure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But Nick and Meredith Kasten, thank you guys so much. Their podcast is Fayette Forward. I certainly want to encourage you to check that out. If anybody that's listening to this says, no, I'd love to talk to this couple in the same way that you just kind of cold reached out to me, how would somebody connect with you guys?
You could just email. You can put the email in the show notes.
Okay.
And we'll, whenever we have time, we'll get back. And we're happy to entertain questions of people that are thinking about moving here. Maybe they have questions. We're friendly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we've sent people your podcast. You were saying that would be your ultimate goal.
Oh yeah.
We've sent that to people, and they actually ended up moving here, and they freaking love it. So just to let you know, it's more than one full circle.
Yeah.
And other people we know who moved here heard our names mentioned in one of your earlier episodes. And so you're changing lives, impacting lives.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. It makes this right here, these kind of conversations make it all worthwhile. I mean, everybody that I get to interact with on this podcast make it special. And then the simple fact that I get to share it out, shout out to KUAF for sharing their platform with us and being able to make that happen. But no, I really appreciate you guys coming on, and this is kind of like a full circle moment for me to have you on the podcast. So I appreciate you both and wish you nothing but continued success. And I'm glad you're my neighbors and you're my friends and people that I was able to connect with through this podcast. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, folks, there you have it. Another episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. To learn more about us or to read the show notes from this particular episode, you can visit us at iamnorthwestarkansas.com. You can listen to this podcast and sign up for our free newsletter to keep up with us and all things NWA. And remember, you can find our podcast on every major podcasting platform. And also, please consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. Remember, our podcast comes out every Monday, rain or shine. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn, and we'll see you back here next week for another new episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit iamnorthwestarkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.